Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Well, good morning. Today is a great day. Amen? Today's a great day for a lot of reasons. One reason, I understand that your men's soccer team got a big victory yesterday. So I congratulate the men's soccer team. Somebody said it doesn't matter who wins or loses. Well, that's not true. If it doesn't matter who wins or loses, why do we keep score, right? It does matter. But today's a good day, and I have reached the conclusion, students, that every day is a good day because this is the day that the Lord had made. I remember on one occasion getting up and saying to my wife, good morning. She said, good morning to me. And then she said to me, Benny, do you know what today is? And I began to think, what is today? Is today our anniversary? Is today my wife's birthday? I'll tell you how to always remember your wife's birthday. That's just forget it one year. But I began to think about, what is today? So nevertheless, I went on to work. I called a lady in our church who runs a florist, and I said, I want to send Barbara some flowers. She said, what's the occasion? I said, just send the flowers. It's a very special occasion. And there's a little boutique pretty close to where we live in Forsyth, Georgia, where we do most of our shopping. I think the name of it's Walmart. I ran by there, picked up Barbara a nice dress. I took it home and I said, Barbara, we're not going to heat up the kitchen. We're going to go out tonight and have a nice dinner. This is a special occasion. And we went out and we had a wonderful dinner. We came home, got ready to lie down for the night. I said, Barbara, it's been a great day, hadn't it? She said, Benny, it's been a fabulous day. I said, you know, Barbara, I didn't forget, did I? She said, no, Benny, you didn't forget. She said, I believe it's been the greatest Groundhog's Day I've ever experienced. Well, today's a great day. It's a great day because this is the day that the Lord hath made. Amen? If you don't believe every day is a great day, just try missing one of them. Today is a great day. Now, I want you to do something. I want you to take your Bibles and stand. Can we do that? Our Bibles, our iPads, iPhones, whatever we have. If you don't have any of that, the scriptures are on the screen. But I want us to look at Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8. And I want to call your attention to verse 3 through verse 6. Psalms chapter 8. When I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers. Think about this, folks. I can't even grab a soft drink without using my hand. I have to reach and use my entire hand. But God created the world with his fingers. God created Mars. He just put a finger here, and Venus here, and the sun here. He created all just with his fingers. He's such a powerful God. When I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou carest or visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet. Let us pray. Jesus, we bow our heads and our hearts in your presence. I pray that you'll speak to us and through us. And God, for all you do, we're going to give you glory, honor, and praise. For I pray this prayer with a grateful heart. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to take a few moments and I want to talk to you about life's greatest question. Life's greatest question. You know, I've always had an inquisitive mind. I've always had a why mind. I remember when I was a boy, my mother would say, you need to eat your vegetables. And I would say, why? My mother would say, you need to go to bed early. And I would say, why? She'd say, you need to drink water. And I'd say, why? You need to get a good education. You need to study hard. And I would say, why? Let me tell you, all these years, I've still got that inquisitive why nature. I've still got that question nature about me. And there's some questions that I've always wondered about. Just here's some things that I've wondered about. Here's a question. If we evolved from monkeys and apes, why do we still have monkeys and apes? I've wondered about that. I've wondered about this. I've wondered why you never read online, psychic wins the lottery. I've wondered about that. I've wondered about this. I've wondered why glue doesn't stick to the bottle. I've wondered about this. I've wondered why they sell hot dogs in packages of 10 and buns in packages of 8. I've really thought about this, young people. I've wondered why drugstores make sick people walk all the way to the back of the store to get their prescriptions. I've wondered about this. I've wondered why convenience stores lock up their outside restrooms. But I think I've got the answer to that one. They're afraid we'll break in and clean them up. Amen? Now, the USA Today did a poll, and the USA Today surveyed 2,000 Americans. And they asked 2,000 Americans, if you could ask God, this omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, sovereign God, this God who didn't begin when the beginning began, but began the beginning, this God who didn't start with start, but he was start, this God who before there was a was, he was. This God, if you could ask God one question, what would that question be? And by far, here was the question that Americans said they'd like to ask God. Why am I on this earth? Why am I on this earth? And when I heard that question, I thought, people want to know why I'm here. But I'm convinced before you ask the why question, you've got to ask the who question. Who am I? And before you can ask the who question, you've got to ask the where question. Where did I come from? A little boy asked his dad, he said, Dad, where did I come from? And his dad started perspiring. And his dad started talking to him about the birds and the bees. And he started perspiring more. And about 30 minutes later, he was a total wringing wet with sweat, wringing his hands. And he said, Johnny, what about that as far as where you came from? He said, Dad, that's neat. Johnny down the road said he came from Florida. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Life's greatest question. I want to say three things that I believe gives explanation to life's greatest question. Number one, God created you a unique person. God made you a unique person. God created the world, the rocks, the reels, the holes, the hills, the birds, the bees, the flowers, and the trees. God created you a unique individual. See, folks, I believe in creationism. I'm not one of these guys that who says, once I was a tadpole beginning to begin, Then I was a frog with my tail tucked in. And then I was a monkey in a banana tree. And now I'm a professor with a PhD. I don't believe that. I believe that God made you a unique person. I love what Jeremiah 1 and 5 says. Jeremiah 1 and 5. I preached this scripture wrong for many years, folks. For many years I preached this wrong. The scripture says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. For years, Dr. Smith, I preached that we were born and then God had a wonderful purpose for our lives. But that's not true. God had a purpose for our lives, and that's why he created us. Because the scripture says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee and I ordained thee. God had a unique purpose. And God had such a unique purpose that he made you for that unique purpose. See, many times we talk about accidental children, but there are no accidental children. There may be accidental parents. There may be accidental parents, but there are no accidental children. Let me tell you something. My mother and father just spent a night or so together. Only a night or two at the most. But I wasn't an accident. God had a plan for my life. And I want you to understand that God's got a plan for your life. You may have not had the best set of parents, perhaps. But God was more interested in creating you than he was your parents' parenting skill. Here's what I want you to understand. The Bible says, when I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou carest for him? Young people, I want you to understand something. God can't get his mind off you. God can't get his mind off you. The one who created this world said, I can't get my mind off you. It matters not what you look like. It matters not what your race is. It matters not what your size is. It matters not what side of the tracks you're from. It matters, none of that matters. What matters is God said, young lady, I can't get my mind off you. Young man, I can't get my mind off you. I can't get my mind off you. The one who created this world, he can't get his mind off you. You're that special to God. Max Lucado said, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. Max Lucado said, if God had a wallet, he'd be carrying your picture in his wallet. Max Lucado said, God gives you a sunrise every morning and flowers every spring. Max Lucado said, face it, God is crazy about you. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, that'd make a backslid Presbyterian shout, amen? I believe if a mosquito would bite me right now, it would leave singing, there's power in the blood, amen? But wait, it doesn't end there. You've not only got God's attention, but you've got God's affection. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou carest for him? God said, I love you so much. I love you so much. I love you. You're so special to me. You have my attention. God doesn't love you because you're valuable. You're valuable because God loves you. See, I want you to understand something. God made you a unique person. So here's what I want you to realize. If God made you a unique person, If God made you an original, don't be a carbon copy. If God made you an original, don't be a carbon copy. See, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 and 12, comparing ourselves among ourselves is not wise. Quit comparing yourself to somebody else. You're not called to fit in. You're called to stand out. God made you unique. Nobody's got your DNA. Nobody had your set of chromosomes. God made you unique. Somebody said it like this. I hope the English teachers are not in here. But somebody said, be who you is, because if you is who you ain't who you is. God made you unique. Just be you. God made you a unique person. The best Christian I ever met is my wife. I love her with all my heart. And my wife's the best Christian I know. But Barbara went through a tough time in her life. She went through a tough time where she got to watching these movies. She got to watching this guy called Brad Pitt. And every time I'd come home, Dr. Smith, Brad Pitt would be on the TV. And it so upset me. And young men, finally one day, I got right in front of that TV and I looked at Barbara where she couldn't see Brad Pitt. And I said, Barbara, if you tuck away his money, if you tuck away his good looks, if you tuck away his muscular body, what would you have? She said, I'd have you. This is what I've learned. When we compare ourselves to somebody else, we don't win. We don't win. We just need to be who God created us to be. Listen, folks, young people, I travel and preach somewhere just about every day or every night. I told my wife the other day, I said, I'm traveling too much. She said, why do you think you're traveling too much? I said, well, I pulled up at the mailbox the other day, ordered a Big Mac and ordered fries and circled the house. I think I'm going too much. But I travel, and one place I go, and I go various places, but a lady came up to me on one occasion, and she said, Dr. Tate, I want to ask you something. I said, sure. She said, you go to Washington, D.C. and preach some. You go to Washington, D.C. and preach. I said, yes. I said, really, do you think there's a place where they need preaching any more than Washington, D.C.? I mean, think about that word, politics. Poly means many. Ticks means blood-sucking insect. Amen? Is there any place they need God any more than Washington, D.C.? So I go to Washington, D.C., and I preach, and I go to Brooklyn, New York, and I preach at the Brooklyn Tabernacle, and I preach to professional football teams like the Indianapolis Colts and others. And somebody said, Pastor, you go to all these places and speak. I said, yes, I do. And then she said, I want to ask you something. You go to all these places and speak, the Dream Center in California. Why do you act so country? And I said, it's not an act. It's who I am. And I would say to you, be who God created you to be. Because God made you a unique person. But let me tell you something. God's given you a unique passion. God's put a passion in your heart. A lady ran up to a perfume counter and said, do you have Elizabeth Taylor's passion? And the lady behind the counter said, if I did, you'd think I'd be working here. But anyway, how do I know what my passion is? You say, Pastor Benny, you're saying that every one of us students here, that God's made us a unique person and God's given us a unique passion. Your passion will either usually come out of your pain or out of your promotion. But how do I know what my passion? What is, see, the Bible says in Philippians 2 and 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. God's put a passion in you. You said, no, the person beside me. No, no. the person beside you, God's put a passion in you, because you're special. How do I know, Pastor Benny, what my passion is? Well, let me give you four questions to ask yourself right quickly. Number one, what do you dream about? What do you dream about? I know God put a passion in me to build a great church. It was just in me. I wanted to build a great church. I started out with 25 people. Literally, I became the pastor at my church with 25 people. And to supplement my income, I sold furniture. I sold my living room suit, my bedroom suit, my dining room suit. But let me tell you something. That church now that's thousands of people, it's big now, but before it was big anywhere else, it was big in my heart. Because God put a dream in my heart. And young people, listen to me. God's put a dream in your heart. God's put a dream in your heart. God's going to change this world through your lives. God's put a dream in you to accomplish exploits. You say, Pastor, what's my passion? Here's what I'd say to you. Whatever you dream about. Whatever you dream about. And I'd say, folks, since we've got to think anyway, why not think big? Number two, what do you weep about? What do you weep about? Abraham Lincoln stood on the docks of New Orleans and saw a young girl sold into slavery. He took one hand, he put it into the other hand till the hand started to bleed. And Abraham Lincoln said, if God will help me, one day I'll do something about that. And he did do something about it. What's your passion? What do you dream about? What do you weep about? Number three, what do you enjoy? What do I enjoy? Truett Cathy, who started Chick-fil-A, was a dear friend of mine. All of us know about Chick-fil-A. Truett Cathy, I mean, is that a great place, folks? Man, you put one of those chicken sandwiches on top of my head, my tongue will beat my brains out, amen? Truett Cathy said these words. He said to me, Benny, fall in love with your work and you'll never have to go to work again. Vocation comes from the Latin word vocare, which means a calling. A job may be what you get paid for, but a calling's what you were made for. You say, Pastor Benny, I don't know what I'm called to do. Well, let me ask you something. If everybody made $10 an hour, if the college president made $10 an hour, if the janitor made $10 an hour, if the missionary made $10 an hour, if the president made $10 an hour, if the coach made $10 an hour, if the pastor made $10 an hour, if everybody made $10 an hour, what would you do? That probably tells you what you're supposed to do. How do I know, Pastor, what my passion is? What do you enjoy? But lastly, what are you good at? What are you good at? You said, now wait, Pastor, you've just got to enjoy it. Now, listen to me, young people. Just enjoying it is not enough. Because you enjoy it doesn't mean you're good at it. Did you ever watch American Idol? Some of those people enjoy singing, but they sound like a dying duck in a hailstorm. I've just got one question. Where are their friends? Why doesn't somebody tell them you can't sing? God's given you a unique passion. It's what you dream about. It's what you weep about. It's what you enjoy. It's what you're good at. Now, I'm almost done. God made you a unique person. God's given you a unique passion because God has created you for a unique purpose. God has made you for a unique purpose. God made you who you are. God put in you a unique passion so that you could do what God wants you to do. I believe Mark Twain was correct. Mark Twain said, 20 years from now, we'll have more regrets over the things that we didn't do than over the things in which we did. See, young people, growing up, I didn't want to do what I'm doing right now. I didn't want to be a preacher. There was never a day in my life that I aspired to be a preacher. I wanted to be a lawyer. I didn't want to save them. I wanted to sue them. But God had a different plan. And I believe that I've experienced the greatest fulfillment because I've done with my life what God wanted me to do. I've done with my life what God wanted me to do. And I wasn't raised in a typical church family. See, I told you, my mother and father just spent a night or so together, and I was born. And I was raised by a stepfather in a very dysfunctional lifestyle. I was raised by a stepfather, and why I so tell young people, you can accomplish great things with your life, and you're special to God. Because I was raised by a stepfather who told me I was an ignorant bastard that would never amount to anything in my life. And actually, I started believing that. And that's the environment I was raised in. An environment where I was abused physically, mentally, emotionally. Eventually, we left that environment. 16 years of age. Can never remember being in church. Can never remember being in church with my mother. But at 16 years of age, my mother went to bed. She went into a depression. She had a relationship that set her back. She went into a serious depression. I remember going to my mother's bed as a 16-year-old boy and saying, "Mama, what's wrong?" She said, "Nothing's wrong. Just go on, Benny." And I didn't know what was going on. But my mother decided that life wasn't worth living. And she put a pistol in her pocketbook, got in her red Thunderbird, drove 30 minutes to her first cousin's house, planning to end her life right there because she didn't want me to find her. She knocked on the door of her first cousin's house and said to that first cousin, "Can I spend the night with you?" And that first cousin looked at her and said, "Yes, you can stay all night. But you know, you and I used to party. We went to all the nightclubs. We ran around. We did all the things we shouldn't have done." But that first cousin said to my mother, "I'm not the person I used to be. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And more than anything, you need to give your life to Jesus Christ." My mother went into the house, and that first cousin said, "Can we call our pastor?" And they called the pastor. And my mom knelt down, prayed the sinner's prayer, asked Jesus Christ to come into her heart. The very place that my mother went to end her life, young people, she found life. The next morning, my mother pulled up. She got out of that car. My mama's got red hair. She got out of that car. You may not believe this. Somebody said after hearing Benny Tate preach, you may not believe what he believes, but you'll believe he believes what he believes. She got out of that car, and my mama looked different. She looked different. And mama walked up and she said, Benny, I haven't raised you right. We shouldn't have lived in nightclubs. I haven't raised you right. We shouldn't have lived in taverns. We shouldn't have sold alcohol illegally out the back door. We shouldn't have done any of that. But she said, Benny, your mother got saved last night. And I'm different. And she said, more than anything, Benny, I want you to get saved. 16 years old. I didn't know what it was to be in church. But my mother would go to her bedroom at night, and I would go to my bedroom at night, and I would hear my mother say, God, pray for Benny. She'd say these words, don't let Benny go to hell. Don't let Benny go to hell. I'm over in the other bedroom. I'm saying, God, don't let Benny go to hell. And finally, one night, about midnight, I said to my mom, Mom, I'm miserable. I don't know that my heart's right with God. I want to accept Jesus. And she called the pastor. And he said to me, you got to pray. I said, I really don't know how to pray. He said, take my hands, Benny. I'm going to lead you in the sinner's prayer. And we prayed a simple prayer. And Jesus Christ came into my heart. He came into my heart. I could tell it was different. Young people, you'll never get over salvation. Aren't you grateful for salvation? God thought it. Jesus brought it. The blood bought it. The Bible taught it. The Holy Spirit wrought it. The devil fought it. And I'm glad I caught it. I'm glad I got saved. I started living for the Lord when I was 17. I said, I believe I know my purpose for life. Mama said, what do you think it is? I said, Mama, God wants me to preach. I don't want to preach, Mama. I'm shy, I'm timid, that's not me. But I do want to do whatever God wants me to do. So I started preaching. And when I was 17, a church asked me, would I become their pastor? I mean, I was high energy, low IQ. I was preaching messages out of the book of Pism. One lady asked me, she said, Pastor, what does this mean, the epistles? I said, that's the apostles' wives. But I found out, folks, that God honors availability more than he does ability. Somebody said, I'm praying for God to use me. Quit praying that prayer. Get usable and God will wear you out. So I started preaching. Then I reached 30 years of age. And my sister came to me and said, somebody wants to meet you. I said, somebody wants to meet me? Who would want to meet me? She said, your daddy wants to meet you. I'd never had a daddy. I'd never used that word one time. I always wanted a daddy. And I got in a vehicle and I drove to Nashville, Tennessee. And I walked in and I saw this man. And we talked for a little while. And as we finished the conversation up, I looked at him and I said, "Don, can I ask you a question? Are you a Christian?" And he said, "Well, Benny, I've lived my life as a professional gambler. I've traveled the world and made a living gambling, playing cards. But," he said, "about 2 years ago, I made my way into a church and I gave my life to Christ." And he said, "What you don't know, many times you've preached and I've been in the crowd. And I would go by your book table and you'd be signing books and you'd be selling CDs and I'd get everything off the table." I said, "I hope you paid for it." And then he said these words. He said, "You know, Benny, your mother and I just spent a night together. But," he said, "I've often thought, we just spent a night together. But this young man's traveled all over the world preaching the gospel. And," he said, "what I've often thought, what we meant for evil, God meant for good. What we meant for evil, God meant for good." Young people, if you don't hear anything else, God made you a unique person. Don't apologize for being you. You're so special to God. Don't apologize for being you. Quit comparing yourself to somebody else. God made you a unique person. And God's put in you a unique passion. Because listen closely, God's got a wonderful purpose for your life. God's got a wonderful purpose for your life. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed. I want the musician to play softly on the piano. With every head bowed and every eye closed. "Preacher Benny, I'm here this morning, and I was kind of like you. I don't know that my heart's right with Christ. I don't know that I'm right with Christ. I don't know that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I know there's an emptiness in my life. I know there's something missing in my life. And I want you to pray for me." If that's you today and you'd say, "Brother Benny, that's me. There's something missing. I don't know that I'm right with God." If you want prayer, hold your hand up where I can see it. God bless you. 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 God bless you in the back. Listen to me closely. If you don't know that you're right with God, I want you to pray this prayer with me. I want you to pray this prayer. Repeat this prayer with me right there in your seat. Repeat this prayer with me in your seat. "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin on the cross, and I confess them to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord. Come into my life and forgive me. Now, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming into my life. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you that I'm right with you." If you prayed that prayer, hold your hand up real high where I can see it. Hold your hand up. This is awesome. This is awesome. This is awesome. I want you to do one other thing, folks. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to stand up. Stand right up. Stand up right where you're at. Just stand up and look at me. We're the only ones standing. Yes, that's it. You're doing great. That's it. That's it. Just stand up all over this house. Stand up all over this house. Stand up. Let me tell you something. I want you all to know something. That's the greatest decision that you'll ever make. That's the greatest. I want you to stand, and I want the others to let them know what we think about their decision. Can we do that? Praise God. Oh, folks, let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Can we all stand? Can we all stand? Let's praise Him. Now listen to me very closely. Listen to me very closely. We're standing. Here's what we're going to do. This brother's going to lead us. He's going to lead us in a song. If you're here and you would say, Pastor Benny, I want to find the sweet spot for my life. I want God's purpose for my life. I want to be in the sweet spot for my life. I want to know what He wants me to do. Henry Ford said this. He said, the secret to success is to find out what one's destined to do and do it. You said, Pastor, I want to know what God wants with my life. And friend, God's will is what you would want and what I would want if we had sense enough to want it. God's will is what you would want and what I would want if we had sense enough to want it. Because God's will for your life is best. Let us pray. God, as we come before you, we realize that the Christian life victory is only won through complete surrender. So today, as a group of individuals, a group of students, a group of faculty, Lord, we totally surrender to you. God, we pray your will would be our will. God, we totally surrender to what you want with our lives. We're willing to go, Lord. We're willing to stay. We're willing to do thy perfect will. But God, I am convinced it is you that worketh in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. And I pray for every person that stands before me. I'm praying, Lord, that you will make it crystal clear, your path, your purpose. God, the Bible says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. The peace of God shall keep us, God. The Bible says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That word rule means umpire. And Lord, may the peace of God be the umpire in the hearts of the young men and women that stand before me today. May you show them crystal clear. Some of them it may be business. Some of them it may be foreign missions. Some of it, God, it may be academics, it may be academia that you're wanting them to be involved in education. Some of them it's pastoral, God. Some of them, Lord, perhaps it's music, a diversity of callings, Lord, a diversity of gifts that are mentioned in the Bible. But I pray that you'll make it crystal clear to every person that stand before me, and God, every person under the sound of my voice, may they realize that they are a unique person, wonderfully and gloriously created by God. And you've put in them a unique passion because, God, you have a unique purpose for their lives, a unique purpose, a plan to prosper them and not to harm them, a plan to give them a hope and a future, a purpose to be the head and not the tail, a purpose to be more than conquerors. And God, if you be for us, who can be against us? For we pray this prayer in the name above every name. That's the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus, the Lamb of glory. Until you come, we pray, amen. Folks, can we do this? Can we just give the Lord a big hand clap of praise for all he's done? Praise the Lord. 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 He's wonderful, folks. He's wonderful. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be exalted. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. God bless you, brother. Folks, you make your way back to your seat. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Folks, let me say one thing. Let me say one thing, and I'm finished. I'm done. Students, many of you have walked up to me and talked to me. I love to visit with you. I love to hang out with you. That's my spiritual gift, is hanging out. My wife is down here with me, and we stream every service at Rock Springs Church. Every service, every time I preach. I preached four times Sunday. That's why my voice is weak. I preach four times Sunday, but we stream every message, you know, we preach. Everything that happens. A few weeks ago, I dedicated Chipper Jones's baby in the service. He's down there where we're at. But just a few weeks ago, but everything that happens in our church is there. And my wife has streaming cards. And this is how you can stay in contact with us. And if you said, I'm not going to stream you, but you can pray for us. So Barbara will be standing right here, and I'd love to give you a streaming card, and I'd love to stay in contact with you students. Let me tell you something, students. You've got a tremendous school here. You've got a tremendous school, and you've got a tremendous president in Dr. Mark Smith. He's a wonderful, wonderful man. You've got great teachers, professors. This is what I believe. There's no other place anywhere near this place like this place. This must be the place. And all God's people said.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.